to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome, everyone, to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It is Saturday night, June 27th, and for the first time in our five-year history, we're coming to... radio, they have expanded the realm, so to speak. I hear by the mid-July, they're going to have...
This is the engineer of...
38. Budding in is the engineer. This is trial and error.
We're starting the show again right now. You're live now, but you can give your audience your startup again, which is great.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, everyone. All right. Like I said, trial and error. This is the first time we've ever done a broadcast outside of our studios at home in Memphis from AM 1380 WLRM. They're carrying us live tonight, but we're not sitting there. We are here in Jackson, Mississippi at a fine hotel at the Council of Conservative Citizens 2009 National Conference. I'm here with my co-host, Bill Rowland. Bill, how are you doing tonight?
James, I'm doing great. And once again, as we said earlier, this is our happy hour version of the political cesspool. So that's a wild crowd out there. It's a rock and roll crowd, right? And there actually is a large crowd here that is not canned laughter and canned applause. So we've got a huge lineup of guests. It is an all-star show, as James said earlier. Our first guest, Paul Fromm, will be up in just 1 minute. But, James, what did you think of the conference so far?
Well, you know, Bill, I've had the honor of coming to this for 5 years in a row. And this is obviously a first doing the radio show from a remote location. But I don't know if there's ever been a better council conference that I've been to. It's been great fun, a lot of laughs, a lot of good fellowship, messages of love and truth coming out from every corner. And we're excited to have so many fans of the show here with us tonight. And again, to be in the presence of so many great luminaries like Paul Fromm and Jared Taylor and Sam Dixon, Craig Boddicker's, whose film, A Conversation About Race, was, in my opinion, the highlight of the conference, as it got a live screening last night here, and we're going to be talking about that. But as I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a very different show. We hope you're able to hear us right now on all of the different AM and FM affiliate stations that are carrying the show right now across the country, as well as the internet, satellite, and shortwave audiences. However you're listening to the Political Cesspool tonight, this Saturday, June 27th, whether you're driving in your car, you're listening on the computer, we're glad that you're with us, and we're glad that Paul Fromm is with us. Without further ado, we got a lot of people to get to tonight, so let's get cracking. Paul, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm really charged after this conference. James, I have to say this was the best I've been to in 10 years I've been attending. There's a real spirit where people realize that we are in an all-out battle to preserve our people on this continent. I think a lot of people have awakened. A lot of people are here who I don't think have been to a conference before. There's a renewed interest, and I think we heard some fantastic speakers about what we need, and we need our own media. And you're right on the cutting edge of that, James.
Well, thank you, Paul, so much for that. And I think, you know, that's been one of the recurring themes of this conference over the past couple of days that we've been down here, is just what a disproportionate amount of power the media has in shaping our public discourse. One of the things we talked about, you mentioned it in your presentation today, I spoke about it last night when I took to the podium. This Michael Jackson news story is absolutely worldwide news, and this is an absolute non-event. This is something that maybe should be in just a local obituary wherever he died. I mean, this was a guy that, you know, is not noteworthy as far as I'm concerned in the grand scheme of things, and this is something that is on every major television network, and not just is receiving coverage on every network, but is getting saturation coverage on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. You turn on the TV, they're talking Michael Jackson, and you know, it could just as easily go the other way if we had our people in control of the programming and production of some of these mainstream media entities. I mean, talk about it, Paul, what the Michael Jackson thing really shows you.
It shows, I think, practically the last days of Rome, where the what's churned up universally to entertain or titillate the masses is the demise of a sexual freak. Yesterday morning, I was channel hopping, and until I got to a financial channel, I couldn't find any news that wasn't Michael Jackson. I have to ask myself, what was happening in the United States or Canada, around the world, that was important yesterday that maybe we ought to have known about, and yet that tiny minority who control the media determined that all we would be fed yesterday was endless repetition about the death of this freak.
And the useless eaters out there, the bread and circus crowd, they ate it up. And I guarantee you, in shopping malls and in places of public gathering across the world, everyone's talking about Michael Jackson because that's what they've seen on the news. They could just as easily be talking about the great message that we were bringing people at this conference if the media chose that as newsworthy, and if they would present it in a truthful and unbiased light. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what a lot of people here are trying to do. And it just goes to show again how powerful the media is in shaping public perception. And as we know, perception is the ultimate reality, and we've got to make the reality of our message is a message of hope and love, and it's a progressive message. It's a message that's right for all Americans, but particularly our family, the European American, the white race, and that's what we're here for. And so I don't know, Paul. What do you think? You think we're going to be able to take back the media to some extent? I mean, obviously, this show's seen a lot of great growth, and your message is getting out there, and you've got your own show. And
well, the hopeful thing is that unlike 10 years ago, the media is falling apart. Daily newspapers are closing. The Denver Mountain News, I think the San Francisco Chronicle, they can't make money with newspapers anymore. One of the major sources of distortion and lies basically is no longer commercially viable. More and more people are getting their news off the internet. We haven't yet ended the days of the dominance of networks like ABC and NBC, etc. But there are new media, and you know, you're very much on the cutting edge and part of it. And that's where I take some hope. And the thing that really annoys me is that any one of the speakers we heard in the last 2 days was providing real food, insight, encouragement, and spiritual nourishment for our people, and yet the media chose to cover only, the death of this pathetic Michael Jackson. Our people are being shortchanged. We've got a way to go, I think, to bridge that gap. But people like you and the political cesspool are beginning to bridge that gap to give people the food they need instead of the mouthful of stones or the mouthful full of poison that they're being given by the minority controlled media.
Yeah, I don't know, Paul. Maybe one day, the history of people like Alexander Solzhenitsyn and Martin Luther, the real Martin Luther, will be as important as the death of a sexual degenerate like Michael Jackson, a pedophile. We'll see, but that's what we're working. That's what we're aiming to change. Paul, I know we've only got a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds probably before break. You're the director of the Canada First Immigration Reform, as well as other organizations. What's next for you?
Well, what's next for us is a major campaign to try to focus Canadians. We've got a high unemployment rate. It makes no sense to continue to pour, in our case, 500,000 immigrants into Canada each year, and we have over 10% unemployment, as do you too. I heard those figures on the one news network I was able to get yesterday, I think it's Bloomfield's They indicate that U.S. unemployment has now gone into double digits. There should be no immigration, not a single person coming to the United States or Canada until we get our people back to work. Well, that's the message I'm working on.
And if you agree with that message, ladies and gentlemen, check out Paul Fromm. What's your website, Paul?
CanadaFirst.net.
CanadaFirst.net. Check out Paul Fromm at CanadaFirst.net. We're about to go to break. We're live in Jackson, Mississippi at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference. The political cesspool will return right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards and Bill Rowland here with you live from the Council of Conservative Citizens 2009 National Conference in Jackson, Mississippi. We got a great crowd here. I tell you, Bill, I've never felt more love than I feel right now. And there's so many great people, so many fans of the show.
Absolutely. And this is the happy hour show. And once again, we need to hear from the crowd here. You know, we're fortunate, and we actually have some fans of the show here tonight with us. And so we're really delighted, all of you, to share the show with you live. This is actually how we do it usually. Me sitting next to James, almost in his lap. So this is how it actually works. But we are here with the fabulous Sam Dixon, one of the great spokesmen for our folk and our people in the South. And
how do you introduce a guy like Sam Dixon? I mean, what biography would do him justice?
A very humble person with much to be humble about.
Well, Sam, you gave a great speech, as usual, entertaining, humorous, serious, informative. What do you think of the crowd this year at the council conference?
Well, I agree with James. It's the best ever. And we have a big crowd, and about half the people were young, new people that we had not seen before, nice young people. It's nice to know that even in the age of Michael Jackson, our race can still breed people like this. We're not going to become extinct.
Well, we're going to hear from some of those young folks here in just a minute. I'm going to pull some people out of the crowd and embarrass them and get them to say hello to the rest of the audience. And by the way, we have, if you're listening to us over the radio, we'd like to find out in the future who you are. But I do want to say that there are six news stations out there listening to us, and we welcome you to our show and look forward to hearing from you in the future as well. And we will give those call letters of those stations on in the future. We just don't have them all right now.
You know, so. But we just found out about that today. I was talking with one of the managers of Liberty News Radio, and apparently come next month they're going to have 38 affiliates carrying different programming from Liberty News Radio, and it's just exciting to know that the message has continued to be well received, and we're getting great feedback from the different very mainstream radio stations, the very mainstream audiences that listen to these stations as a result of the message that we carry. So it's an affirmation that not only we're right, but people still agree with us, and we're not talking about people that are on the far corners of the internet. We're talking about people who work hard for a living. I guess the people on the internet work hard for a living too. Certainly we get most of our news on the internet. That's not what I'm trying to say. But people who are driving around listening to nothing but AM radio and don't know about all the great truth sites on the net, they're hearing us and they're receiving us just as well as our friends.
You know, Sam, you said something about Michael Jackson. I mean, I know that he's the biggest news in the world right now. And of course, we are talking about a pederast, a pedophile, a child abuser. And yet his fame has not been diminished, nor apparently his popularity. Can you give us a brief eulogy of Michael Jackson in terms of his importance to the United States and to the world as far as, you know, his celebrity and so forth?
Oh, I can't think of anything to say about him.
Well, as someone wrote on my son's Facebook page, he did touch millions.
Well, I will say this to show the dishonesty of the media. I remember years ago reading in the same newspaper in Atlanta on one page an article in which we were told that Prince Charles was disqualified from succeeding to the throne of Great Britain because he'd had a one heterosexual affair with Camilla Bowles. And then you turn the page, the next page, it was extolling the greatness of Michael Jackson, how wonderful he was, which, you know, shows you there's something about this picture that doesn't fit.
Well, he could be the next queen. He could have been the next queen with enough.
Don't give them ideas.
Bill, I don't know where you go to from there. How do you segue into another topic when you're talking Michael Jackson? Because nothing works.
Well, of course, you know, the conference here, and as I said, this is the happy hour version of the political sexual radio show. So there's a lot of loose talk right now.
I'm a Presbyterian. I'm never happy. And so are you. What are you doing happy? I'm going to report you to the church.
Well, they may force me into a marriage of convenience with someone like Michael Jackson. That's the only problem. That'd be my punishment.
We're having way too much fun for network radio, Bill. What's going on here tonight?
I don't know. We never have
this much fun in Memphis.
We've lost all seriousness with the topic, and we're strictly an Irish band now.
Here's a serious one. I thought that the death of Michael Jackson was more worthy of note than what I heard NPR talking about for 45 minutes. That was it. 200 demonstrators had turned out in Tehran to demonstrate against Ahmadinejad. This is worldwide news that 200 people turned out and that they faced police armed with guns and tear gas. Don't you think if 200 David Duke supporters had a rally in front of the national capitol, there would very likely be cops there with guns and tear gas? And you think that the fact that 200 of us got together would be worldwide news?
No, not unless.
But what is the agenda behind all of this reporting about the demonstrations in Tehran?
There's more than 200 people in this room right now, and it's not. Well, it is a big
thing. Horrible police brutality of shooting tear gas and actually arresting people who go down the street throwing firebombs into buildings.
Well, did they know Michael Jackson's dead? That probably would have stopped everything in Tehran.
They're fighting to make the world safe for Michael Jackson, even in Tehran.
Well, okay, Sam. Are we coming up on break time?
No, we got four more minutes.
I tell you what, we've got a whole audience of people here. Now, we do have another celebrity that's standing right in front of me right here.
Yeah.
And he's actually a celebrity because he's just appeared in Details Magazine. Yeah, so we've got all these people. We have Sam Dixon, and we've got...
It's a potpourri of personalities.
It's a potpourri of personalities. We've got all the A-list personalities from the media. And with us right now is Derek Black, who just appeared in... And I'm not kidding. The sort of fashionable magazine, Details Magazine. Derek, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, James.
It's been a while since you've been on, Derek. Now, Details Magazine is sort of like the GQ for the.
It's published by GQ. It's for the younger audience. You know, the young white racialist man about town, about 20 years old, 25 years old, like that. Yeah, when you get into a frivolous magazine, you know you've made it in the white political world.
So, Details Magazine. Now, I saw the spread, and this is available, ladies and gentlemen, on newsstands nationwide. You go to an airport, you go to a Walgreens, you go to a gas station. This is going to be on the magazine rack, and it's going to be there for a couple of months, Derek, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it'll be here for the rest of the summer. I haven't been able to pass a magazine rack. I try to be modest, but I haven't been able to pass a magazine rack at the airport in at least a month without walking up and, you know, opening it to page 70 there.
My question, Derek, is it true you're dating Lindsay Lohan?
No, that's entirely untrue.
But it was a full color spread, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't go by, I've never even heard of Details Magazine. I guess an introvert when it comes to the mainstream stuff. If you find a Details Magazine, buy it just because they skewered Derek. I mean, you know. But it was a pretty good article. I mean, you got to read through the.
You get bad articles, but this one was pretty good. They at least didn't call me anything worse than a white supremacist. And they had Mark Potok said that I think he said I was toning down racism. I was making racism sound reasonable or something like that. You know, I think I befuddled the SPLC. So when
I think Mark Potok may have a crush on you. He saw the details. So you want to be a little careful with your image now.
But that's mainstream. That's as mainstream as it gets. And again, you know, all of these words that they call us that really aren't applicable. The white supremacist, neo-Nazi. I mean, none of this is technically true. I mean, but that just goes to show the power once again that the media has in shaping the public discourse. And we're working to to not change our image, but change the way that the mainstream perceives our image. Because as I say, Bill, I mean, what are we really all about? What is our message? Don't sugarcoat it. I mean, this is a mainstream message. This is the kind of message that was carried by the founding fathers. We only got 20 seconds. This is the kind of message that carved America from a wilderness. This is a message that should be embraced by everyone. It is a healthy message. It's a natural message. No hatred involved. This is something, it's the right of self-determination. It's the right of a people to be free. We're for freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of association. And why'd you go to a commercial break?
Very quickly, today, Details Magazine, tomorrow, Vanity Fair.
We'll be back right after this.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, everyone. James Edwards here, along with my co-host, Bill Rowland. We are in uncharted waters here as we do our first remote broadcast outside of the Memphis studios in 5 years. We're in Jackson, Mississippi right now at a beautiful lodge at the Council of Conservative Citizens 2009 National Conference. We've got access to so many great personalities right now, and we're trying to take full advantage of that. So, yeah, we're down in Jackson, but for everyone driving around in Memphis listening to us on flagship station AM 1380 WLRN, we'll be back home next week, everybody. Don't worry. We're having a lot of fun, and right now we're having fun with Jared Taylor, my good friend and a true luminary, a visionary, the keynote speaker of this conference, Jared Taylor, the editor of American Renaissance. Let's give him a hand, everybody. Jared, how's it going tonight?
Oh, very well. Oh, very well. I don't usually have such an enthusiastic studio audience.
I know. It's how does this rate to Queen Latifah?
Oh, it's vastly superior. I think the studio audience answered that question for me. She was a little on the hostile side, Queen Latifah.
Well, you know, you're not going to get a booty call here, though.
Well, I'll live without her.
Well, Jared, it's been far too long since we've had you on. We hadn't had you on in at least 2 weeks. So it's good to have you back. Anyway, Jared, if you could, again, one of the highlights, and there were many highlights that we had in the last couple of days, the last 48 hours, not the least of which was all of the fellowship that takes place behind the scenes in between segments and speeches. But you gave an absolutely fantastic, spellbinding, captivating speech. What were, if you can briefly summarize what your thoughts were and what the radio audience missed?
Well, the subject of my speech was science and conservatism, or science and racial consciousness. And as I said to the audience, if it had a subtitle, it would have been, "The scientists have finally figured out that everything your granddaddy told you about race was right after all." After all of the 1960s and the 70s and the 80s and all this nonsense about how we're just one big happy family, it does turn out that deep in our natures is some sense that we are a distinct people, and people prefer homogeneity and their kinfolk rather than all this happy nonsense about diversity. But the scientists have finally figured that out.
We were right then, we're right now. But I wanted to ask you, Jared, a little bit more about the way the discourse is presented. Is our message, is your message, is my message, the message that is carried on this program and in your magazine, is that a message of hatred of other races?
Oh, heavens no. It's a message of affirming our own group. And it's a message that in every other racial group in the United States is taken for granted. Every other group has organizations, publications, movements that press their interests, not necessarily because they hate anybody else, but they want their people to prosper. But we, whites, all around the world, we're the only group for whom, if we stand up for ourselves in the most accepting way of others, we are somehow hate mongers.
Okay, Jared, what we need here, since we're all in a happy mood and everything, we need some liberal feel-good talk from you right now about our future and what's going to happen.
I'll give you some perfect feel-good talk. What white people need to do is get in touch with their own feelings. Doesn't that sound liberal?
They're pretty good.
And it's their own feelings. When white people... It is when white people are in touch with their own feelings that they decide not to send their children to an all-black school. It's when they're in touch with their own feelings that they move to where they are the majority. It's when they're in touch with their own liberal, gooey feelings that they marry people who look like them. So, yes, all you white people out there, just get in touch with your feelings. Is that satisfying?
That's great. And I want to say that I am America's guest, and I want my stuff now. You know, that makes me feel good, too. You know, I want the same privileges as the minorities who are seem to be feeling pretty good at my expense.
Yeah.
So that's good. Very good. Feel good talk from Jared Taylor, and no gloom and doom. So that's good.
Now, Jared, you were saying a second ago that we're asking for nothing more than what is not only allowed but encouraged with all of the other races here in America and around the world, the right to feel good about ourselves, to enjoy our heroes, to appreciate our cultural heritage. Why do you reckon that such egregious double standards exist when it comes to celebrating one's pride? We take pride in our ancestry and the accomplishments of our people. It's hatred. Anyone else does it, it's, that's just completely normal.
I wish I had a simple answer to that question.
I guess that's the million-dollar question.
It is the million-dollar question. What is the affliction that has suddenly afflicted practically all white people around the world? As I was saying earlier today, just this month, the ex-great white father, Bill Clinton, he was talking to an Arab group, and he said that we can all look forward to mid-century when whites become a minority. That's going to be a great and positive thing. Those are his very words. Now, can you imagine a Mexican president or Mexican ex-president saying, hey, we're going to get Chinese in here, we're going to get Nigerians in here, and pretty soon Mexicans are going to be a minority, and that'll be just great. You can't imagine, because it would never happen. And if it happened, they would haul him away and put him in a rubber room. That is the kind of difference we have, white people versus any other group.
Well, I think it's safe to say that the Chinese will never be a minority in their own country. Yeah. All the rest of us have a lot of catching up to do.
And Bill, you bring up a great point, because, Jared, obviously you're an expert on the Japanese culture. Now, this is a culture that is celebrates their homogeneity.
Yes.
It's absolutely perfectly acceptable and healthy to be proud of one's heritage if you're Japanese. We could learn a lot from them, could we not?
Oh, we certainly could. The Japanese, they have a declining birth rate. And all around the world, there are millions of Filipinos, Iraqis, Iranians, Indonesians who would love to go to Japan, because Japan is a society that works. The Japanese say, no thanks. We will invent robots instead. We don't need you folks. We would rather that Japan stayed Japanese, and I say, God bless them.
Yeah, what other lessons could we learn from Japan? If we could transplant any of the characteristics of the Japanese nation, what would be first and foremost on your list that we need to transplant over here in America?
Well, that would be the most important. The sense that they have utterly unabashed pride in being Japanese, and they are not at all shy about saying and taking for granted that they want their descendants to be Japanese, and they know perfectly well that if you're not born Japanese, you cannot become Japanese. That is the essential understanding they have about their self and their nation that I think is shared by Nigerians, by Mexicans, by Argentinians, by practically any other group in the world. We, it's white people, United States, Europe, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, we're the only people who've lost sight of that basic truth.
Okay, I'm going to do a quick question for you. Best white nation in the world, worst white nation in the world in terms of attitude?
Oh, gosh. Attitude. Well, you know, I think today, the white nations that have the best attitude are the small white nations in Europe. Say the Danes, for example, the Austrians. In these recent European elections, they have sent back a very significant nationalist group to the European Parliament. Also, the Eastern European countries, they are very healthy-minded because they didn't have all these years of propaganda. While they were under communism, they suffered all sorts of other things, but one thing they did not get was multicultural propaganda. Now, the worst white country, gosh, I mean, we got so many competitors for that title. I think the United States, Canada, we're pretty much...
Now, I'm going to ask you, well, I mean, the only thing I guess America has going for it in its favor right now is that we're not thrown in jail, as is the case in a lot of the European nations, for having healthy thoughts, having a healthy thought process. But, you know, as Ted Pike tells us about every week when he's on the show, the hate crimes bill is always there. It's an enemy that has to be beaten back time and time again. And they can afford to miss 100 times. We can't afford to miss once, or else we will be faced with the sort of Orwellian thought suppression laws that our brother Germans and brother Britons face. And that's not a road that we want to go down. We got a minute and 40 seconds left until our next commercial break, Jared. And I'm telling you what, everybody, I'm having more fun on this broadcast than I have had on any of the other 1,000 that we've done.
Well, James, I'll tell you, it is a signal pleasure to actually be able to see your face.
Yeah, we got out of all the times you've been on the show, you've never been in live in the studio. We do a lot of telephone interviews.
That's right.
Now, everybody, you got to check out amren.com for American Renaissance. That's AMREN.com. What's coming up in your next issue, Jared?
Well, the next issue, depending on what his schedule is, we may have an interview with Michael Levin. If any of y'all remember Michael Levin, he is a professor at City University who wrote the classic book about racial differences in IQ. It's really an extremely sophisticated and persuasive work. He's sort of been out of touch about these things. We've got a very, very interesting interview of him coming up.
Well, check that out, everybody. If you're not already subscribing to American Renaissance, one of the premier journals of our people out there, go to amren.com and get your order. And stay tuned to pay close attention to amren.com over the course of the next several months. We can't give away all the details right now, but come February, the next American Renaissance Conference will be held, and that's always great fun. It's a biannual symposium, and that's going to be taking place in the nation's capital coming up in February, and we'll have Jared Taylor on a couple of times between now and then to promote it. So, Jared, thank you so much for coming on. You're a star.
Oh, my
God. You're a great guy. What can I say about Jared Taylor, everybody? All right. We're going to be back with more. We're going to be back with more right after
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards here, Bill Rowland. You've already heard from Paul Fromm, Sam Dixon, and Jared Taylor. I mean, in any normal week, Bill, that would be more than a show. I mean, that's three heavyweights in this movie. Derek Black. I mean, Derek Black's been on. You've already heard from four very big names in the paleo-conservative movement, and there's still much more to come as the political cycle rolls on. It's hard to believe we're sitting here right now in the midst of all of our friends. It looks as though we're just sitting here talking to each other.
Well, let's hear from the audience again.
Are y'all out there, everybody? And we're here, and this is the marvel of modern technology, Bill. As we sit here with all of our brothers, all of our sisters and compatriots, we're going out to radio stations across the country. We're going out to the internet, a truly worldwide audience. People are driving around in their cars listening to us. Maybe they're tuned in online, but here we are. You would never know it.
James, I'm going to go out in the audience. I'm going to pull somebody from the audience, and we're going to have them on right now to talk about
this. Oh, this is going to be completely... complete ad lib, completely extemporaneous. This is a night of first. What can I say?
Night of first, it is. All right, first, tell us your name.
Clay.
Clay, and you're from?
Dallas.
Dallas, Texas.
How long have you been listening to the political cesspool?
Probably now for, I guess the first time we discovered it was at the Euroconference.
Euroconference.
So November 2008, you're a relatively new listener in the grand scheme of things. We've been on for 5 years, so... you come on and I remember you fondly, by the way. That I know was a fun night.
It's probably the hair.
We were ready to celebrate by the time that joker was over. Let me tell you, we went out.
I learned a lot of things about James Edwards that night.
Say that on a national broadcast.
I'm not going to reveal any of your secrets, but that night I learned a lot more about him. Just sitting out over a few cocktails, of course.
That's right.
Of course.
Well, what do you do in Dallas?
I work for a transportation company.
Transportation, yeah, I did too. It's a big one in Memphis, probably nobody's ever heard of, but I used to work for them too. Well, Clay, what do you think of the show so far? What do you think of the conference?
Enjoyed the conference. I mean, I'm always here to, really to hear the speakers, and so I was, always impressed. There's always, I mean, I think one thing that we're here for is to hear some answers. I think a lot of people just want some type of, direction. Where to go? What are we going to do? That's one thing that I really feel like and I'm not anyone to criticize what's being said. There's super intelligent intellectuals here that are, you know, explaining and telling us what's going on. But I think that one thing that we really want in addition is someone to tell us. Give us a direct step. What can people do as regular working class individuals to help the cause?
We've got to have strong leaders stand up, leaders that aren't going to compromise, leaders that, as our motto states, are going to conduct themselves without retreat, surrender, or apology. And, you know, Bill, I mean, listen to the guy. Listen to Clay right here. I mean, you pull this
guy
out of the audience, but listen to how well-spoken he is. Listen to how articulate he is. This is indicative of the political cesspool audience. We have a brilliant audience of listeners, and we're thankful for every single one of them. We're thankful for your Clay. I mean, listen to this guy. Listen to the way
I think James is flirting with me, actually.
Listen, Clay, consider a career in radio. I'm telling you.
I know. I'm not kidding. Am I saying too much?
I can't reveal all my secrets.
Okay, we got a message from the Lord of the Board. The Lord of the Board says, tell James to stop yelling into this phone and or microphone. It sounds distorted and like crap.
Art Frith, our producer, when it all started. See, you know, Art, I don't know how it's working here because we've never done it like this. I think I'm talking at, maybe I have to yell a little louder, but Art Frith's setting us straight. That's what he does, though.
Well, Clay, thanks so much. As I say, consider a career in radio. I think you sound better than we do.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
That wouldn't be hard.
It was a pleasure. I'm honored. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Clay, everybody. The true celebrities are the members of the political cesspool listening audience.
That's
true. You can't say enough about them. Maybe I'm a little effusive in my praise, but we are so thankful and grateful to have them, and they're smart people. They're smart people.
I see Haas over here sweating. Haas is going to come over. Here comes Haas, everybody.
Haas, just remember.
Nope. Big hand for Haas.
Haas Rager. No four-letter words, no expletives. Clean, it's the family show.
I guess I can't say anything then.
No, that's right. It's really going to cut down on our vocabulary. But anyway, Haas Rager is the assistant editor of the Citizens Informer. And I tell you, the Citizens Informer, the publication of the Council of Conservative Citizens, the newspaper, has never been better. And you're a part of that, I guess, Haas.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I'm glad we're still free enough to live in a country that's founded on the creativity and idealism of white people, where we can even have a white woman, they're one of the richest white women in the world, who grew up a poor black boy.
That's right, Haas. That's right. Right you are. Well, yes, and we're all mourning her death right now.
I was wondering who he was talking about.
Queen Michael.
I just figured that one out. I'm a little slow here.
Well, all right, Haas. Well, what did you think of the conference?
It was a great conference. We had a great panel of speakers. And it really occurred to me during this thing that we're going to come out of the second Reconstruction. Barack Obama's a visual aid to everything that's going wrong in this country, everything that's been going wrong since the Fair Employment Practices Commission in 1942.
Are you an unreconstructed Confederate, Haas?
I'm a converted one. I'm one of those SOBs, sons of both.
Sons of I'm glad you didn't use the other word again. It's great. I mean, can you really put a premium on the... On the fellowship that occurs at a conference such as this? You're with 200, 300 people that are of like, not only of like mind, but I mean, we're talking about real Americans. You're talking about businessmen, the producers, the people who contribute to this society, the people who vote, real Americans. You're with 200, 300 real Americans that are conservative thinking, and they're not watering down their message. They're not neocons. They're not liberals. This is the kind of people that carved America from a wilderness. Can you really put a price on what it's like to be in the midst of people like this?
Absolutely not. You know, in this world, we get discouraged a lot. But when we come out here and find that we're not alone, that we have comrades in this fight, it's really inspirational. And then we get recharged and we go back and fight in our own communities.
Well, that's exactly what's taking place. And that's one of the things that was said at the podium of this conference. Politicians listen to individuals, but they respond to organizations. And the Council of Conservative Citizens, more than any other organization, I guess, over the course of the last 40 years, has been on the front lines of this fight to restore America's cultural heritage, to reclaim America's destiny. And if you're not a member of the Council of Conservative Citizens, you should be.
Bill Rollin and I both.
There you go, Haas.
CFCC.org.
Say it one more time.
COFCC.org.
CFCC.org. Join up and be a part of the America First movement. Be a part of a healthy organization, an organization that's not going to make you feel bad.
for being born European American.
Everybody, we want to thank you. Haas Rager, everybody.
Haas Rager, another political cesspool fan. I mean, Bill, do you think we can keep this up? You know, this is a 3-hour show, everybody. This is a 3-hour show. Do you think we can keep up this momentum and this enthusiasm for 2 more hours?
James, this is a broadcast pub crawl right now is what we're talking about. So, I mean, absolutely. We're going to keep it up, and our audience will stay with us. At least the real troopers will. So, you know, we're going to hold on to them and keep them going. I don't know. Do we have time for?
I don't know. How much time do we have left? We got to, Jamie Kessler's done a great job tonight. Jamie Kessler is
on the mark.
We got two minutes left. Let's just hold that off until the second.
Let's hear
hour.
From you. Want to hold off until we come back from break?
Well, we got 2 minutes. We could tread water for 2 minutes until we go to. You know, we got national news, everyone. National news comes at the top of each hour, so we got we're gonna have a little 6-minute timeout after our next commercial break. But we're just having too much fun. Thank God we're volunteers, because I would feel guilty for getting paid for this.
I think we ought to start singing. I think that would really just put the you know, really add a real flavor to the show. We need to start singing. You know, James, I think you can sing, what is it, your song, Mac the Knife?
I sing Mac the Knife. I sing a lot of songs. I like the oldies. I don't know We Are the World. I don't know Black and White by Michael Jackson, but I do know Mac the Knife. I know Brown Eyed Girl. I know any song by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I can sing the 60s pop, you know, pop hits, you know. And if anybody comes up with the right amount of money, I will sing on air tonight. I don't know. Do we have any contributors out there? We'll sing. Will you sing, Bill, for the right amount?
Absolutely.
Would you whore yourself out for the right amount of money?
I don't know if I'd use that. I don't know if I'd use the H word.
The H word. Now, no, we got Mike over here from Atlanta. Now, he's megabucks. What do you think Mike would pay to hear you sing a song live to a national audience?
I can't remember the words is the only problem. I'd have to act like I was singing another language.
We had a night in Memphis the year before last? I don't remember. They all run together. But Peter Stanton came down, Eddie Miller, Winston Smith, our co-host. We were all together, went to a karaoke bar, and we sang, what did we sing? We sang Run Around Sue by Dion. And that was a night. That was a night. Well, Winston Smith was in 1984, but he also co-hosted the show. I mean, the guy gets around. You know,
okay.
Say?
Okay. Here's what
we got. 30 seconds, Bill.
The Lord of the Board sent his message, and he says, "Keep talking like you're all right now, guys. The board op will greatly appreciate it." But he says, "Definitely do not let James sing." So we may have to go do a whistle concert.
Well, I might have to defer to Art Frith, because he is the Lord of the Board. The show wouldn't be where it is without him, and God bless him for his service to the political cesspool. We got 5 seconds, 2 more hours to come tonight. We'll be back after this burst of national news. The political cesspool returns in the second hour right after this.
1 hour down and 2 to go. Stay tuned. Hour number 2 of the political cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, "Something's got a hold on me." Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, "Hallelujah!" Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit and looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.